1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, St. Paul writes these words, "Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I encourage you to open up your worship folder, find the yellow insert. Upon it, you'll find our sermon outline with our theme, "Boast in the Lord." Have you ever learned the lesson? For some of us, the hard lesson of being careful and watching out what you boast and brag about. I sure did when I was 15 years old. I was playing on a baseball team. Who would have thought it? It was the season-ending big game. And I was bragging and boasting to a buddy on the opposing team, "There's no way your team can beat ours. Our team is much better than yours. You haven't got a chance. In fact, if your team beats ours, I'll eat some of the dirt from the ball field we play on." You can guess where this is heading. I went on with my boasting. "Your team has as much chance of beating our team as does the New York Mets of winning the World Series." At that time, the New York Mets were the losingest team in baseball, having broken every record for the number of consecutive games lost in the 7 years of their existence. They were horrible. But my boasting continued. "You have as much chance of beating our team as a man has a chance of walking on the moon." Now, the year was 1969. You may have guessed what happened in those years. The New York Mets miraculously won the World Series. Neil Armstrong did walk upon the moon. One small step, you've heard that. And our team lost the game. And let me tell you, the dirt tasted terrible. Be careful what you boast about. In our sermon text for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, St. Paul says again that theme verse, "Let the one who boasts," it's on the screen, "let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." St. Paul tells the people from Corinth and tells us today that God gives us His power and His strength in His Son, Jesus Christ. And our reason for boasting is found in Him. Even as we said last Sunday, the very center of the architecture in this place of worship is Christ on the cross. So St. Paul says, if we have anything to boast about, let us boast in the Lord. Listen to what he says in our text for today. Paul writes, "Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." The trouble is, power for life is being offered elsewhere. And often we look to temporary power instead of God's eternal power. Our situation today is not a lot different than it was in first century Corinth when St. Paul wrote those words. In the great city of Corinth, there were people of wealth, people of influence, people of power. And they said, "I have no need of Christ." And they filled their lives with the things that the world around them said was important, said was prestigious, said was a source of power. And even some of the people in the church of Corinth to whom Paul was writing were chasing after these powers and influences and people in the world. And many of the people, even in the church of Corinth, began to lay aside the things of God to chase after the values of their godless neighbors and godless friends. And today, how many Christian individuals and families, even in our own congregation and our extended families, are turning their back on the things of God to chase after what our world says is important, or to fit in with their godless neighbors and godless friends. St. Paul addresses these church folk in the church of Corinth. And he says in verse 18, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God." St. Paul tells them in first century Corinth, and he tells us today, if we will listen, that what this world says is important, what this world calls power, and us chasing after that, will lead us to turn our backs to God, will lead us to God's judgment. Now, I must admit to you that this reality makes me sadder than anything else as your pastor. This is the part of the sermon where it's hard to preach it. But we need to hear. This is a reality that makes me sadder. You ask my wife sometimes how I come home and put my head down. I look around for those dear people. I look around for those dear families who could be here, who should be here. But they've been seduced by what this world says is important and powerful, and they're following the lead of their godless neighbors and friends. And worst of all, this choice made by parents can impact their children and their relationship with God, not just now, but for all eternity. Jesus himself once said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but lose his soul?" Now, by means of a small commercial, the Board of Elders of our congregation prays for and is concerned about and wants to encourage and love, especially the young families of our congregation. So they're going to put their money where their mouth is. Soon we'll be sponsoring an evening of prayer and support and encouragement for our young families, realizing the stresses and pressures they're under these days in our godless world. We want to support them, pray for them, encourage them. The elders are going to put on a lavish meal. We're going to have childcare free of charge. We're going to give them a night of praying for them, of lifting them up, not scolding, but encouraging. These are challenging days in which we live. Well, my mother and father used to say things like, "Things aren't the same." When I was little, I used to say, "Yeah, right." And now, things aren't the same, are they? We'll be doing just that for our young families. You see, God's power and God's wisdom, and what God considers important, is not the same thing as what our world considers powerful and important and wise. It was true in first century Corinth. It's true today. Things haven't changed. Listen to what St. Paul says to the people of Corinth, to the people of Trinity. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is low and despised in this world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being could boast in the presence of God." God's power is in Jesus Christ upon the cross, and His power resides in those who put their faith in Him. The low, despised, weak things Paul refers to here can be all seen right there at the cross. Now, according to worldly standards, take a look. According to worldly standards, can you think of anything more powerless, more weak, more foolish than Jesus dying upon the cross? You see, today we hear about things like power lunches, power ties, power plays, power grabs. And Jesus on the cross seems like anything but powerful. But on that cross, He bore our sins. On that cross, with His own lifeblood, He paid for our salvation. On that cross, He was forsaken by His Father in heaven, and upon that cross, He died. But upon that cross, St. Paul says, God used the things that are nothing to bring to nothing the things that are. That is to say, God used something as weak and powerless as Jesus' death on the cross to bring to nothing, to wipe out, to defeat what seems powerful in our world. Sin and death, pride and status, the devil and hell. God used what was not to make nothing out of those things that seem like such a big deal. And after Jesus' resurrection from death on that cross, His resurrection demonstrated that true power, lasting power, eternal power is found in Him and in His resurrection. Today, my friends, Almighty God is inviting you to put your trust in the power of the cross. I mentioned that hymn last Sunday. Without embarrassment, I'll mention it again. As the third verse of Rock of Ages says, may it be the theme of your life and mine and of this congregation, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. In Jesus Christ Almighty gives us His power. He gives us His love. He gives us His hope. He gives us His strength. So then we can boast, really boast, that all we really need for this life and the life to come, we find in Jesus Christ. And there humbly kneeling before His cross, my friends, we have real reason to brag and to boast. We can truly boast that in Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven. God's love is ours. Our security for eternity is ours because He helps us to live for Him and then to live for others. You see, let me let you in a little secret we often forget. All the blessings that God gives us, we are not just to keep to ourselves and selfishly enjoy, like little Jack Horner in the corner. Oh, what a good little church member am I. All these blessings and wonderful things God gives us. God doesn't give us this stuff so we just selfishly keep it to ourselves. We do not come here Sunday after Sunday to hear God's Word and the proclamation of the Gospel, receive forgiveness of our sins and a reminder of God's love just to keep it to ourselves. No. We come and get so that we may go and give. I say it again. We come and get so that we go and give. When God gives us His good gifts on a Sunday, we are then to live for Him and others through all the Monday through Saturdays of our lives. And living for Him and for others means that we can boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Joyfully telling others how good He is. How much He loves sinners like us. How precious we are to Him. And joyfully serving others. And going that extra mile for others. In Jesus' name. In today's prayers, we are going to ask God to lay upon our hearts the name of one person or one family we can reach out to, we can serve, and we can invite to come with us here to God's house to hear about His love for them. One of my favorite professors in seminary, now sainted, once told us the first day of preaching class, I've told somebody this before, he said to us, "Boys, when you become pastors, be nice to everyone, because everyone is hurting." It's true, isn't it? And God gives us the rare privilege, because of the power of His love and forgiveness found at that cross of our Savior, to, in Jesus' name, extend the hand of love and compassion to another person. So that time comes during the time of prayers. Be attuned to ask God to lay upon your heart the name of a person you can reach out to, especially bring to this place to hear about God's love for them. Well, this is godly boasting. And St. Paul says in our text, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." The organization called Consumer Reports once produced a booklet entitled, and I quote, "How to Clean Practically Anything." This booklet boasts that anything dirty or stained can be cleaned. I learned some interesting things. Let me read what I've learned. It tells you what solvent to use for a particular stain. It says, glycerin will remove the stain from a ballpoint pen. Boiling water will remove berry stains. And Kristen told me this week, she knew that. Vinegar will remove crayon stains. Hendel, something for you to remember. Can't crayons on the walls. Ammonia will remove blood stains. Alcohol, the right kind, will remove grass stains. And lemon juice will remove rust stains. But no matter how many times I read that booklet, the booklet listed nothing for the stains of sin. The booklet listed nothing for the stain or fear of death. The booklet listed nothing for the stain of guilt or shame. And as that old hymn says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Thank God for the cleansing blood of Jesus and for His love for sinners like you and me. Now that is something to boast about. As St. Paul says, and will you say it with me? "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." In the name of Jesus, amen.